It's a privilege to celebrate and study the Word of God together with you. And for some of you who might not know me, I'm the interim Chinese pastor in this church, but I occasionally spoke in the English worship. I think my last time was back to probably more than 1 year ago. But the last time was we talked about the upper room discourse, and that was when Jesus was ready to go up to the cross. And when he was ready to sacrifice himself, but before he went, he had a long conversation with the disciples, his very close disciples. And that happened in the upper room. They have upstairs, so upper room. So it was recorded in John chapters 13 through 17. So we call it upper room discourse. And sometimes other people call it farewell discourse, because it's kind of, he was bidding farewell to his disciples. Oh, I'm going, I'm leaving you, but this is the word that you need to pay attention to. So we kind of wanted to continue that theme, even though it was like more than 1 year old. But anyway, today we're on a passage of the beginning of the chapter 17. So if you have your Bible, turn to John 17, where we can read it together. All right, are we ready? After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is the eternal life, that they know you and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the eternal life that you have given us. And you gave that through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the big sacrifice that you have made. We thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for leading us all the way to know you and to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And please help us to have the marriage, have the relationship with you, and give our lives back to you, because you are worthy of our offering, you are worthy of our praising, worthy of our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in this passage, Jesus talks about whom you should know. And that's important in our life. So whom actually do we know in our life? That almost determines where your success is, or where your value system is. In Chinese, there's a saying which is which goes like this: "人以类聚，物以群分," which means, okay, like people will go together, and like objects also go together. So, depending on who you know, you might hang on more time with him or her. So the more you know God, the more time you want to know him. And how many of you think you know Jeremy Ng? No? Of course you know some word he said, right? What is his Twitter account? What is the title that he says in the Twitter account? You know? He says, okay, to know him is to want to know him more. That is the signature in his Twitter account. Okay. So whenever you follow him, that's the first sentence you saw from his Twitter account. Okay, so he knows that. And he knows that from a hard way, because he didn't know that. When he was playing for the Golden State Warriors. He didn't know that. He was a bench player, and he was complaining, and he didn't know what the system is, and he didn't know what the value is, actually. He was thinking, I love basketball, and basketball might be the most important thing in my life. But actually, it turned out not to be. So he realized that, so he put his focus back on God, and he improved. And that's where he stands now. But anyway, whom do we know is important? And that's back to CRC. I hope you guys learned a big lesson from the CRC. And what's the theme? Is that how many of you are still having that t-shirt? I have a few. Thank you. Thank you for wearing that. It's kind of reminding yourself and reminding others to know. So, now, from that passage Jesus was talking about, he said the life was given by the Father through him, and it was given to us. So today, we want to know that, we want to be sure that the eternal life gate was open so that all may go in. Just as one hymn sings that, okay? And for all who go in, we have a common characteristic. We have some common things. And that common thing is that we know who gave the life. We know the life giver. We know the life between God and us, which is the mediator, who is Jesus Christ. And we know who received the life. So we're going to talk about, we know God, the life giver, and we know the mediator, Jesus Christ. And we also want to know the receiver. Who are the receivers? Us, right? It's us. So what's the importance to know us? Because God has a commandment. God has a responsibility to give us for the life receiver to live out the life that he has given to us. So back in the picture he was using earlier, I would use the picture, the same picture he was using. Because Jesus, back in the chapter 15, he gave us a picture. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Who planted the vine? The Father. Okay, so when he was talking about the Father, you know, the Father means a source of something. So the source of the vine, the source of the fruit, the source of the garden. So he is the garden. He is the husbandman. He is the vine planter. It is he who gives our life and the fruit in our life. When we talk about Father, the first thing we think is that he starts something. Because sometimes we call, you know, Thomas Edison, we call him father of electricity, okay? And if we name another person, you call the father of maybe agriculture, or father of like kings, or father of whatever, you mean that one started something. That one gave out something. That one initiated something. And that's what our God has been doing. But know him, actually, it has different spectrum. So how do you mean, when I ask you, how many of you knew German name? No one raised your hand. Okay, that means you defined known as a relationship. You might have heard of him. You might have, you know his details. You might have known how many scores he scored, how many assists he had. You might have known the statistics. But that's not what you meant by knowing. But actually knowing in Bible, or in our daily life, it has a spectrum. It's just like when somebody says, oh, this is a beautiful, this is a colorful picture. But by colorful, you mean what? You have a spectrum. Colorful, other than black and white, is color. Like red or orange or purple or dark blue, which looks like black. So, when you say a colorful, you mean a spectrum. You know, sometimes this is colorful, that is colorful, but that's not what I meant. But anyway, no has the same kind of sense. So you know, we know all things work together. And that's the knowledge. Okay, that's the knowledge. It's not that we know that fact. So no, sometimes it gives you just a knowledge. You hear of that. I know German name because, you know, I watch him on the TV and that kind of thing. So that's not the knowledge. That's not the relationship. So in Bible, it has a spectrum of knowing. One word has a range of meaning. And that word has a quite big range of meaning. And it has that kind of meaning. And even in Bible, when it says Adam knew Eve, and what happened next? And Eve gave birth to a child. So knowing can be a very deep relationship. But what kind of relationship Jesus was talking about here? He wants us to know the Father. He wants us to have a deep relationship with the Father. Not just hear of Him. Not just, He's mighty, He did wonderful things, but what does that have to do with me? No, it's not just the hearing about God, but it's having a relationship, a loving relationship, an intimate relationship. You talk to Him daily. You talk to Him and you read from Him. So, but how do you know Him? How do you communicate sometimes, okay? Back in those old times, you do mail, right? You write letters to each other. All right, that's what I did with Hong, a number of years ago. We wrote letters, but even though we didn't have the horse mailman, but we had the post office. But even before that, probably the horse mailman. And then, later, what do? To know someone. In order to know someone, you communicate, right? And you write mail, you call, you dial phone, and then all of a sudden the phone is too old for us. So we turn out to have something else, like Twitter. Oh, the phone here. Okay, someone is, wow. Sorry, okay. Who is that? You want to know me? How did you get my number? Oh, really? Okay, you're my child, so this is why you know my number? Well, which child are you? Is that Esther or Irene? Oh, I'm sorry. I know that Irene doesn't speak English yet. Oh, I'm sorry, but Esther, where are you? You're supposed to be in the classroom. What? Oh, okay, you just want to talk to me? To say I love you? Oh, so sweet. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of relationship you have. But for our Father in heaven, you know, he's much bigger than the earthly Father, okay? But I, as the earthly Father, I feel sorry because I'm working here and she's disturbing me. But even that, I still appreciate her office. And I know you guys probably don't mind, okay? But anyway, my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, doesn't have that kind of problem. Because He's working constantly, and He has many, many ears. He has many, you know, He has everything to do, and He can do everything together. It's not like our limitation, okay? When we are here at some time limitation and a space limitation, we cannot do many things else. But He can do everything. So if you want to know Him, just call Him. What's His number? The Bible, right? Your prayer. That's His number. All right, just call Him to have... Oh, that's another call. I'm sorry. All right. So, but anyway, that's how we know Him. So if you want to know God, and this God is so... comprehensive, it is so all knowledge, is so omnipotent, it's unknowledgeable, it's everywhere, He's everywhere. And he doesn't mind your calling him anytime, anywhere, any situation at all. So if you have anything, even if it's like 1 a.m. or something like that, he doesn't mind, I'm sure. Okay, so call him. This is the way to know him. And Jesus also said, okay, this is the eternal life. They know you, the true God. And also, they want to know me, the Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So Jesus said, okay, for eternal life, we also need to know the mediator. The life was given to us, but it was given through a certain way. It was not just given. A price had to be paid. So if I gave something to you today, I cannot just rob a store and get something and give it to you. I need to pay a price. I need to buy it and give it to you. I need to pay something. And that's what God did. And God did it greatly, with great price. And He paid it through the life of His only begotten Son. So we actually, we were purchased. We were paid a price through. So the other thing is that we want to know the mediator between God and us. What does this mediator do? Well, even before he was a mediator, even before there was a need for mediating, even before we were formed, even before we existed, he was there. Look at the verses 4 and 5. 4 and 5 says that, okay, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you give me to do, and glorified me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So actually, he was there. Even before he took the role of mediating, he was there. So we know him. He was there, even creating the world. That's how powerful he was. If he created you, he knows everything about you. If a manufacturer produces some car, he knows what maintenance that car needs. If you have anything, call the manufacturer, call the car maker, read the manual, and that's what he does for us. He has a manual for us. He has a purpose for us. He created us along with the Father, with the Spirit, the God Trinity. Created the world and created us in the world. And also, when it came to his role of mediating, he did that. He just took this job, even though it was very hard for him to take. It's hard for him to give up his life. It's hard for him to go to the cross, to be teased and mocked by others, even though he had power to defeat them all. But he refused to use that power and right. He let it go. He let them mock. He let them tease him. He let him humiliate him. He just followed the Father's will and did it for us. He mediated for us. As a result of that mediating, he was recreating the new creature, which is our new self. As a result of his mediating, he created us again. Now we have a new heart in our body. We have a new spirit which can guide us in our daily walk with him. So that's the thing that we need to know him. And we know him, and we also know him from the previous passage that he has said. Because verse 1, he says, "These words I spoke." These words Jesus spoke, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said the following. These words. What words? The words from chapters 13 to 16. And what did he say about that? And back in the chapter 13, he said he washed their feet and said something like this. This is how I am your teacher, but yet I wash your feet. I want you to imitate me to serve one another. This is how I love you. I want you to use the same love, use the same way to love one another. So that's how he said that. In chapter 13, he illustrated a relationship of love among him and the disciples, and also demands his disciples to exercise that love among themselves. And on chapter 14, he gave them a resource of truth, because he said that, I am leaving, I'm departing, but don't be afraid, because once I depart, I will send another counselor to you. And once I depart, I will go to another place and prepare a room for you. In my Father's mansion, there are many, many rooms. If I go and prepare a room, I will come back and receive you. So, he goes, and he gives us a resource of truth, which is the counselor, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So in the chapter 14, he talks a lot about the truth, the Holy Spirit. That's the resource of our life strength for us who have the eternal life from God through Jesus Christ. So, in the next chapter, he talks about the picture. He was the vine and we're the branches. God was the planter. So, he gives us the responsibility to bear the fruit. Bear the fruit. The more fruit we bear, we can glorify Father who determines the fruit, who gives us the life, who plants the vine, who gives the fruit. So there's a responsibility of fruit. Then in chapter 16, there is a reality. There's a reality of pains and suffering in this fallen world. If you watch the news every day, you may see some accident, some terrorist, some tragedy that was happening. This is real. But Jesus said, I leave you my peace in this unpeaceful world. There's still peace from me. Speak from me. I am going to give you. And that peace is not what the world can give you. He can give you. So that's how we need to know them. And here, in chapter 17, he talks about the reunion and the unity between him and God the Father, and also between the disciples and him, and also among the disciples. He was demanding a unity. He was demanding a deeper fruit, a better fruit flowing from our life. Of course, individually, we can have a fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can have all that kind of fruit individually. But corporately, we were brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have a common, we have the only Heavenly Father in common. We are brothers and sisters. We are supposed to be like what he said, unite together. Be one. As Father and I are one. As the Holy Father, as the Son and Spirit, as they are one, and we should be as one. So this is the third aspect that we need to know. Back to Jesus' word, he said, this is eternal life. Know God, the true Father, and me, whom he has sent, and also know your responsibility. So today, we are facing a challenge. We are having a homework to do. We want to know God the Father, we want to know the mediator, Jesus Christ. We also want to know what kind of fruit, as life receivers, we can bear. So, I hope this will be a challenge for you. Number one, of course, is to memorize this verse. I think some of you had already done that through CLC, because this is the same verse, and it's the same as know Him. So now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And then we want to say, this eternal life that was given by God the Father through Jesus Christ, and this eternal life is for you, is to you, is given to you, and is also for you to enjoy. So I really like Dan's sharing the other day about the youth parenting, and he was using John 10:10 as one of his two verses to encourage the youth. And the Jesus was linking himself as the shepherd, and as the door of the sheep gate. And he said, through me you can come in and have life and have it abundantly. So as the eternal life receivers, as the Jesus followers, we're supposed to have a life. And the life should be more abundant than others. We should have more freedom than others. Our freedom is more, not less. Our joy, our happiness is more, not less than others. We're supposed to have more freedom, have more smiles in our face. And, yeah, that's a good smile. Thank you. Yeah. But anyway, we're supposed to bear fruit of joy and love and gentleness. So this is not only a life given to you, but a life for you to enjoy. And it's also a life for you to share with others. Jesus' blessings does not stop at your life. It will continue. It's just like the river of the water. It flows through you. Through you. And like one of the Psalms says, my cup overflows. Where does it overflow? Okay. Will this cup overflow? No. Unless I pour it, it will flow over. But if the cup is full of water, is full of juice, is full of liquid, the cup will overflow. And that's what our life is about. God gives us abundantly to a point we just naturally give it out. So, in your neighborhood, in your class, in your relationship with others, have you sensed the love and blessings that God has given you is so abundant, is so full, is too much, is very much that I have to share with others? And it's natural for me to share with others. So this is the third challenge I'm giving us, each of us, to share. So again, we thank God for the eternal life which has been given to us. And we thank God for the life for us to enjoy and also for us to share with us. So we want us to meditate on that and also remember again that life was given by the Father through the Jesus Christ to us. We thank you. We thank God for that. And let us have a prayer time to give thanks to Him and praise Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us the eternal life, and the price was big, and the price was paid through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Christ, and it's also through you. We thank you for getting out, and thank you for preparing the eternal life for us, and gave us opportunity to know you, to know you better, to have a relationship with you. Not just know your name. We know that Satan also knows your name and knows your plan, but he trembles. He even believes in some fact, but he doesn't have a heart to follow you. He doesn't have the courage to have close relationship with you, to have love relationship with you. But we want to have the love relationship with you. We thank you for giving us the life. We thank you for being our Father, so that we can come freely to you, and we can come to say whatever our request, whatever our worries is, and we thank you for the freedom that we can express our ideas, the freedom that we can experience your love. We thank you very much again for giving us the life, and for giving us Jesus Christ, and for giving us the responsibility to bear fruit for your glory. Please help us to just do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.